This episode of the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour is sponsored by the Law Offices of Alfred Guillaume III, a boutique criminal defense firm located in Washington, D.C. The firm specializes in defending federal criminal cases. You can learn more about the firm by visiting our website at guillaumelaw.com. That's GUILLAUME law.com. A lawyer is either a social engineer or a parasite on society. Every student who has had the privilege of attending Howard University School of Law is familiar with those famous words. Welcome to part one of my interview with attorney Brandy Harden. Brandy is the real deal. Howard University Law grad, proud member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Alpha Chapter, a true trial attorney, Brandy has perfected her courtroom skills at Howard University, where she was a two-time mock trial national champion. She has continued her winning ways as a practicing attorney for over 20 years, winning over jurors in both federal and state court. And as you'll learn from the interview, she remains humble and credits her many successes to the village that raised her. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview. I will catch you on the B-side. Welcome to another episode of the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour. I'm joined by my smiling good friend, attorney Brandy Harden, trial attorney extraordinaire. I want to just say before you even say a word, you were the first true trial attorney to sit in that chair.
Awesome.
So thank you for coming.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, Brandy, you are a criminal defense attorney from the mighty, as we can see from your shirt, those that are watching the podcast, Howard University, H-U?
You know.
Right?
But I the best.
But you are actually, and we have many, many guests. If you've ever listened to this podcast, you know we have many guests from some with some Howard connection. But you, again, another first, are what's called or what's known on the street as a double bison.
Double bison.
Can you explain, first of all, hello, how you haven't said a word, I'm doing all the talking. Can you just introduce yourself and explain what a double bison is?
A double bison is the best. Let me start by saying that. But I'm Brandy Harden. Thanks so much for having me. I am from Dallas, Texas.
The great state of Texas. Don't mess with Texas.
That's right. I was just explaining what that means. I wonder if you know.
I do not know.
It's all about littering. Don't mess with Texas. It's all about littering.
Really?
If you throw something out on the street, it's a $500 fine. If you do it a second
enforced?
Time, it's enforced for real. That's why
Texas got some laws, huh?
And if you do it a second time, it's a misdemeanor. You go to jail and $2,000 fine.
So yeah, in the whole state of Texas?
Texas? That's right.
I never knew that.
That's what it's all about.
Wow, I just thought that was a cool catchphrase.
Yeah, it's not quite just that. It's something a little bit more.
This is a true criminal defense attorney, guys.
Right. Implicates all kind of criminal issues.
Right. But we got a little off track. We're talking about being a double bison.
Yes.
You are a graduate of Howard University undergrad, yep, as well as the Howard University School of Law, my alma mater. I did not have the privilege to go to Howard undergrad, but I did go to the law school.
Yes, and I went to the undergrad. I don't want to tell how long ago, unless you ask me.
How long ago did you
see
go to Howard University?
I went to Howard from 1994 to 1997.
So you're an OG like me.
That's right.
That's not that long ago.
I was there with all the greats.
Wait. You just said 94 to 97.
That's right.
Which means that you must have graduated a little early.
I went to school in Texas before I came to Howard.
Okay.
And so then I got my wits about me and was like, right, let me go to an HBCU. What's up? And came to Howard.
Where were you before that?
So I did one semester at the Texas Women's University. And one semester at University of North Texas.
Sounds like you got to be smart to go there.
I went to University of North Texas after going to TWU because I didn't
fit into the culture.
No, I was supposed to go to Spelman because that was my dream school.
Okay.
And then, you know, you got to be really on time with your college applications. And I sent it on time,
however,
but like the on time. They were like, cool, you're on the wait list. I was like, yeah, I got to go to college. So where am I going to go? So I went to TWU for a semester, and then that was kind of whack. And so then I went to University
just
of North Texas.
Whack.
Yeah. I'm not sure what made me think I was going to go to a non-co-ed school. So then I was like, oh, well, let me go to North Texas. It was just really right across the street. And so then I went there, and it was just really a really big school. Too big to know what's even really going on.
So you went there, and it's a majority school, I take it?
Majority.
It's a, not an HBCU.
That's right. That's right.
PWI is the
other. I was trying to see if you were going to say PWI. I'm not trying to be, you know, politically incorrect. Yeah, it absolutely was. And it was just too big. It just was, you know. So then I said,
you ended up in the great city of Washington, D.C.
Let me get up and get out of here.
And how was that transition coming from Texas?
It was great. So, you know, I'm an only child. And so coming to D.C. was a eye-opening experience. I didn't know anybody here.
In the 90s, it was quite different than it is now.
Very, very, very different.
And Howard's campus was very different than it was than it is now.
It was awesome. And one of those years, I was on the homecoming committee. And so I was all involved in homecoming. Nice. It was true really school great. Spirit.
You showed up with a Howard Bison University.
That's right. That's right.
Sure. Today, you're not playing about Howard.
I love Howard. Everything about it. I taught there then for 14 years. I mean, Howard's my love.
You're jumping ahead. Like,
Howard's my love. Okay, I'm just telling you.
You love Howard. I know you love Howard, as do I. I always talk about Howard on this podcast when I can. It literally changed my life and continues to change my life in a positive way. And if anybody has the notion that they think they should go there, I think we both can agree that they absolutely should.
100% they should.
Right. And, you know, we love Spelman, too.
Absolutely.
But we love our Howard.
My line sister works at Spelman. Shout out to my line sister.
Shout out to your line sister. Well, shout out to your sorority, Delta Sigma Theta.
Absolutely. Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated in the house.
In the house.
I'm Alpha Chapter from Howard University.
Oh, wow. Legit. Like, absolutely. Don't even play.
That's right. 1996. Authentic 35.
Whew. Excuse me. I don't even know what the next question should be. I just got goosebumps. I
love
that.
Yes. Love everything about Howard. It changed my life as well.
So you ended up at the law school. And you're a criminal defense attorney. We'll talk about your law school experience in a second. But when you were choosing this path of being a lawyer, how did that come about?
So it just wasn't really that planned out. To be real, after I when it was time to like get ready to graduate, all of my line sisters who were sort of new, right? We graduated in 1997, but we pledged in 96. Everybody started taking all these exams like GMAT. Right. And LSAT.
I
remember
that. I took that. Took them both.
Right, because I didn't really know what to do.
Right.
I didn't take any of them other than the LSAT, but I was like, I can't do GMAT. I don't know how to do math.
I did not.
I can't do any of that. So let me just do the one. Yeah, let me do the one. So I took the LSAT really just because everybody else.
The LSAT is the law
school
entrance exam.
That's right.
For those who may not know.
And took that exam because I was like, oh, I guess this is what we're supposed to be doing, going on to do something else.
Are there any lawyers in your family?
Nope. I am what they call, right, first-generation
lawyer. First-generation lawyer, as am I.
Yeah. So I took the LSAT, and actually, I didn't apply to any other school but Howard because I was like, well.
We have that in common as well.
Well, what is the undergrad? They're going to say, no, you graduated from the undergrad, but we can't take it to law school?
Yeah. You
clearly, they could say no. But they didn't, luckily. And so then I was came to the law school in 97.
And you didn't take any time off. You went straight from undergrad to law school, spent 3 years in law school. And when you're in law school, now you are, for those who don't know, a true trial attorney. You are a beast, a dog. You got quite a reputation in the courtroom, in the lawyer community.
Thank you.
In the trial lawyer community. So much so that you even teach people or have taught people how to be advocates in the courtroom, a talent that some people have naturally, but others may not. But you teach it because clearly you got it.
Listen, I got it because of the village, right? So when I was in undergrad, some of my professors said, look, we think you speak well and we think you should be on the
Barack Obama'd you?
debate team. I didn't know anything about the debate team, having come from Texas. I was like, okay. I tell youngsters all the time, because back in that day, we just sort of did what the teachers say. So they say, right, get on the team. And I'm like, okay. So I got on the mock trial team. It was called the debate team, but the same thing. It was mock trial.
This is an undergrad.
Undergrad mock trial. Right. And
realized you had a talent.
Well, we were lucky enough to be the national champions. Hello. Howard, the first time Howard became the national champions in 1997.
Yep. Shout out to HU.
Shout out to HU. And really shout out to the teachers that saw whatever they saw in me, because I didn't have that kind of training before I got to Howard. And so I came, we did mock trial there, and then I was like, oh, this is my thing.
So you had that wonderful ability to be able to advocate and to be able to speak publicly, which some people struggle with. You go to law school thereafter. And in law school, many people may not know, there is no major. You just take the classes you take. There's some interesting classes that you think you might want to take. There's some prerequisites, but no one knows what, in fact, they
really want to do. Right.
And how did you end up? Did you choose criminal law or did criminal law choose you?
No, I definitely chose it. I mean, I think going in, so after I graduated from undergrad, when I decided to go to law school, there was only one option for me, and that was to be a public defender. I just felt like if I'm going to do law, criminal has affected my family. Criminal has affected friends that I had from high school. So if I had gotten locked up, my mom couldn't afford a lawyer. So then that's the kind of lawyer I need to be. That was just it. It just wasn't really like all planned out and all fancy. I just was like, if I go to jail, I can't afford a lawyer. So let me try to be the lawyer for people who don't have enough money to get a lawyer.
And, you know, it's so great that you say that because, well, first of all, let me just explain to people who may not know that you worked for the Public Defender Service of Washington, D.C., which has probably the most prestigious reputation in all of the country in the public defender space as being the elite place for being a public defender. I never worked there. I don't think I could have made the cut. But no, it's seriously a lot of judges that are currently sitting and former judges that come from that that organization, and it's really remarkable. And the level, the reputation that they have, the Public Defender Service in District of Columbia is amazing. So you work there, and now you have your own practice, yes?
Yes.
How long have you been in private practice? We'll go back to the PDS stuff in a second. But
I've actually been in private practice since 2008.
Okay, so
and I had a private practice with my BFF.
BFF.
Her name is Heather Pinkney.
Heather Pinkney. Shout out to Heather Pinkney.
Shout out to Heather Pinkney.
She's supposed to come today. She didn't show up.
She will. That's because this is such a full circle story. So I started at the Public Defender Service in 2000.
So you made the cut, first of all, to get the job. Let's give you flowers for that.
Yes.
I'm sure it was not an easy process.
Listen, none of this is me. This is all either the village or God. None of it is just my own sort of talent. It's not really like that, but I was lucky enough to make the cut. Heather and I were in the same class, and so I worked there from 2000 to 2008. And then we started our firm, Hardin Pinkney. We had it from 2008 to 2000.
You're based in D.C.?
Yep, D.C.
Do you practice anywhere outside of D.C.?
Nope, only in D.C. And she's a D.C. native, and I had only lived in D.C., and so we just practiced. Both of us were barred only in D.C.
And you practice in what's known as D.C. is not a state, right? So it's the local court is what's called Superior Court.
Right.
You also practice, which is how I know you, in the federal court.
Because you're more big time. I just got to federal court.
Wrong.
I just got there. You're the big time trial lawyer. I've been in Superior Court doing my Superior Court thing.
You've been excelling in Superior Court for a long time, and now you're excelling in federal court.
Thank you.
But I'll throw it off my train of thought.
You're the one that's doing federal court. I just got over there to your spot.
I mean, I'm really flattered that you think I'm big time and I'm in federal court.
Yeah, you are.
But I can assure you that it's, first of all, you're there with me. So it's not as glamorous as we make it out to be sometimes.
A lot of hard work.
Tons of hard work, which goes to my next point. Being a graduate of an HBCU, and I am a graduate of two as well, undergrad, David University and Howard Law, I found that many of our adversaries on the other side, our colleagues on the other side, the prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office and other federal agencies, typically are from Ivy League institutions or comparable institutions. Do you find the same thing?
I do. Lots of prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office usually come from some Ivy League school. And actually, I think, the District of Columbia, because it's such a unique place, is a good place for them to get practice. And it's quite prestigious, right?
But we did not, you and I, we do the exact same kind of work. We did not attend Ivy League schools. And yet, I have my opinion about how I fare in this world and how the schools that I went to prepared me. But I think you're going to have a similar answer. I like to just comparing the two. We didn't go to those schools, but we're working with the people who went to those schools. How do you think that Howard prepared you for your career in the law, and particularly in dealing with people from the quote unquote most prestigious universities that exist.
Well, Howard is the most prestigious university that exists. And
that was a loaded question, by the way.
Super well prepared. But again, I was just lucky. I had done mock trial in undergrad, and then I went to the law school. I did mock trial again for the whole time I was there. And my partner and I, Melvin Otte, shout out to Melvin Otte.
Shout out to Melvin Otte.
We were national champions all over again. So I was a national champion in undergrad and then in law school as well.
When I said she was a beast and a dog,
I'm just saying.
I was not exaggerating.
And let me just say, the team did not just consist of me and Melvin Otte. He was just my direct partner. There was a four-man team, and it was all of us. And one's a federal judge, one's in fancy law firm.
And everybody went to Howard.
That's right. And we were very, very well prepared. I mean, light years ahead of my contemporaries.
And, you know, that's the argument that, you know, a lot of people have, or the decision that they have to make. Sometimes it's like, some folks are of the mindset that maybe an HBCU is not, quote unquote, realistic. Maybe I'm not getting the best education as another prestigious school. But I found I went to Tulane University as well. I have a master's degree from there. I didn't find the level of student any more superior than the HBCU that I had come from. And then I went to Howard after that. And I'm obviously a practicing attorney. I feel the same way, that Howard prepared me for everything. And I feel, actually, this is just thing as being overprepared, but I feel as if I went to any other school that can claim that they are the best in the land.
I actually teach at Harvard also.
Perfect transition.
So I'm just saying, I've seen, you know, the best of the best at the Ivy League schools, and I've seen the best of the best at Howard. And certainly, both of them prepare you extremely well.
Of course.
My training at Howard was just awesome.
And we know that if you go to Harvard, you're getting a quality, top-notch education.
Absolutely.
A preeminent education. But that's not to say that you can't get one at Howard as well.
You will get one at Howard. Absolutely. And part of it is the commitment of the professors that are there, right? It's not just the subject matter that you're learning. It's also the commitment of the professors that are pouring into students in a different kind of way. So it was... Again, it was life-changing, which is why as soon as I got out of the undergrad, I was like, let me get on to the law school.
Yeah, Howard Law is an amazing place. It's for not sure. Unlike any other. When I die, I would love to be buried. Don't judge me. I'll be cremated, not buried. But
yeah, I'm going to be cremated too.
Cremated and my ashes thrown out. I'm 100% serious. Like, whatever date this is, mark this date, and it's true. Cremate me. Hope I have a lot longer left, by the way.
Me too.
But I'm going to be thrown out over the law school. That's how passionate I feel about Howard Law, and I know you're the same.
Absolutely.
But, you know, as a criminal defense attorney, I get this question all the time, and I have a pretty much canned response, but I'd like to hear your response. And it's, the question is some variation of, how do you defend those people? I'm sure you get it a lot. Sure. What do you have to say about that?
So it's such an easy answer for me. I get it all the time, you know, even from my family. It's very easy to say, nobody is worse. Let me see. What's the phrase? Nobody is bad as the worst thing that they've ever done. So, you know, when I sit across from people, these are still human beings. It just doesn't matter the thing that they've done. It's still somebody's son. It's still somebody's child. It's still somebody's dad. It's still somebody's uncle. And when you interact with them, regardless of whatever they've done or accused to have done, or sometimes even pled guilty to, right? So actually have done, they are still a human being. And so I represent the person, the human, not the crime.
Absolutely. And that's a great response. What I always say, not quite as eloquently as you just put it, that everybody deserves to have a lawyer. Everyone deserves to have an advocate in spite of what they have done or are accused of doing. Because if they didn't, then they could be charged with anything at any time and thrown away and locked up, and you would never hear from them again.
Sure.
So our job as defense attorneys, a lot of the time, is just making sure that the system is working.
Absolutely.
And people, you know, in spite of what they've done, like you said, they are human beings, not bad people, even though some have been accused of horrendous things, because you and I both have cases where, you know, only criminal defense attorneys can relate to these kinds of cases where there's the facts of the case are so I guess, outside the norm of acceptable behavior.
Right. And then and in Superior Court in D.C., right, that's at least where most of the murders are. I mean, I've just had several murder cases, different
kinds of murder cases. You're defending people who are accused of murdering.
Absolutely. Someone. And some that have pled guilty to murder, right? Like, not just accused. That's one thing, right, to have a trial and be accused. But it's a whole other thing to have somebody plead guilty to it. Say, yes, I did shoot somebody or I did stab somebody, whatever the situation is. And so that's a different ballgame, right? That's somebody saying, I did it. And it's so easy for me to represent them. Again,
I feel the same way.
I just feel like it's my obligation. You know, the quote from Charles Hamilton Houston is, a lawyer is either a parasite on society or a social engineer, right? Absolutely. And if you're a social engineer, then
we learned that quote at Howard University.
That's right. You're using the Constitution to better, you know, underprivileged citizens in your community. And so for me, it's very easy to represent those who I think society sort of looks at as not worthy of the kind of representation right. that we give. So for me, it's easy and I love it. I love my job. I love it.
I do too.
As a matter of fact, it takes me to one of my favorite folks, which we'll talk about, I guess, at some point, but I love it when it's us against the world.
Yes. And that particular man that you're talking about is someone who we will talk about at some length. I'm familiar with him and I understand that you may have a slight affinity for him.
No, there's no affinity. I think in the words of how they say it on the Twitter, we go together real bad.
Yeah. And that would be Mr. Tupac Shakur.
That's right. That's
rest
right.
in peace.
That's right. R.I.P.
But we've got time for that. But yes, that's your guy. I already know.
That's right. And listen, I feel like it is my obligation to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. People Absolutely. Made a way for me. And so I now pay it forward, you know, whatever it takes to stand up for somebody who can't stand up for themselves. I'm there.
That's so wonderfully said. And, you know, I think part of that in you is that the fact that you are a teacher, you teach and you've taught for a long time. Are you're currently teaching? I know you just taught at Harvard not too long ago. What are you teaching at Harvard and what do you teach in general and what's your teaching responsibility?
So let me just tell you where I started teaching. I started teaching at Howard. So the team that I was on, I became the coach of in 2006. And I coached that team from 2006 to 2019.
Trial advocacy team.
Right, the Hoover I. Brown.
Correct.
Trial
and I believe there was a national championship.
That's right.
And that one as well. Right. So you're attached to winning.
That's right. That's the other part of what we do from Texas is that we win.
You win.
Okay.
Well, the Cowboys don't win that much.
They do. But. They do. How many rings they got? I mean, they got at least five.
I had to go there.
They got five rings. So we got five.
I had to go there.
We got five rings.
I'm not even going to.
Five rings. I'm just saying. Don't mess with Texas. We got five rings.
We have five rings. You know what? I like your quarterback. I'm a Saints fan by blood, but I'm an Eagles fan by marriage. And I know that the Eagles and the Cowboys, it's kind of a thing. I'm glad you're here. You and I are friends and we will remain friends. I never told you that before, that I was an Eagles fan right. by marriage.
Right.
But I'm just telling you now, so you can't leave. You're already here.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We'll probably still whoop y'all. It ain't nothing to it, but to do it. So it's no problem.
By the time this episode airs, the 2023 football season will have ended. So we will see who is standing at the end of that season.
We will.
Yeah.
We will. So I love, doing what I do. I really think there's probably not any other job for me. But the reason that I taught was because I had a lot of love for mock trial. You know, again, somebody saw whatever they saw in me in undergrad. And I just felt like it's important to make sure, sort of like The Great Debaters. I hope you've seen that movie.
Of course. Denzel Washington.
It matters so much that students from HBCU show up at these competitions and are top-notch advocates. And so that's what I wanted to do, pour into other students.
And it's funny that you mentioned, to distinguish the fact that students from HBCUs need to be top-notch, because as we know, as African-Americans, that not only do we have to be competent, we have to be better than, just to be considered equal. And the fact that we have to do this, we know this from such a young age, and it's like kind of like inherent in this. I don't quite know how to explain it, but people like you that are teaching and giving back is really an amazing thing. And actually, what I did tell you before is that I need you to get me a job doing the same thing. So I'm calling you out.
I'm going to make some calls.
Make some calls. I'll ride your coattails like I do all the time anyway. Please make some calls.
So that's where I started. I started at Howard, and I taught there, like I said, through 2019. And now I'm super proud that the person who took over the team was the captain of my team in 2006. He's actually a judge now, Judge Adam Hunter. And so, again, shout out to Judge Hunter. These are just, I mean, it's just excellence all across the board. That's what I was taught at Howard from undergrad all the way through law school. And that's what I wanted to instill in the students.
And you have.
So after, you know, I got to Howard, I think, in 2006. I started teaching at Harvard in 2008. But I was only doing a 1 week.
You're based in D.C., so you're not there full time.
Right, exactly. So they have what's called a trial advocacy workshop. And it was started, really, by Professor Charles Ogletree. And certainly
who was a legend in the
an absolute legend and was from world. The Public Defender Service and, like, just one of my idols. And so I started in the program sort of slow. I used to go up for once a week. That was in 2008. And in about, 2018 or 19, I became the team leader for the trial advocacy workshop.
Now I'm there for the whole month. All she does is win, folks.
This is another song. All we do is win, for sure. But, you know, it's not really about just winning. It's also just about being your best and giving your best at all times, right? Like, in terms of being at an HBCU, what I was teaching at Howard was that, you know, excellence really, really matters. You show up at a competition, you show up early, you just give it your best no matter what's happening. And so it was great to also teach.
Because we have wins, we have losses.
That's right. You're going to lose. Like, if you are
going to lose.
A trial lawyer, you are going to lose.
Any lawyer
like, if
you're
really trying cases.
Right. Any lawyer that says he's not or she says she's not is not trial lawyer.
That's right. They're not really trying cases. Like, you can pick and choose winning cases, but if you're a trial lawyer, you're going to lose cases. And so sportsmanship is important. Walking with class is important.
Absolutely.
Keeping your head about you is important. Being able to gracefully accept losses are important. I mean, there's just so much that's important. How you dress is important. How you show up. How you articulate yourself. I mean, there's just so many things. And so for me, that was just something that I felt
like. Things that Howard instilled in you.
Absolutely.
Me too, because having hearing you say that reminds me of being, I thought a flashback to law school for a minute. So for anyone who wants to attend Howard University School of Law, what advice would you give them as far as applying, anything that they can do to help better their chances of being let in?
So there are a couple of things. First of all, in undergrad, do not try to major in political science or criminal justice or whatever you think the law is about. Enjoy your time in college. Do whatever you want to do. You don't need to have a background in law in any way to go to law school.
Lord knows you do not, because I did not.
I did not either. My major was speech communications. It doesn't have anything to do with trial work or criminal defense or any of that. So that's my first thing. But the second thing is, once you get ready to decide you're going to go to law school, take a prep class. I did not do that. I did not take any kind of class to get ready for the LSAT. And these classes don't teach you the substance. They teach you test-taking strategies, which is very different from learning like the substance of how to do a particular kind of thing. So that's my second piece of advice. And, you know, I've learned recently that one of the things that might be really important is to take the LSAT and then cancel your scores so you get your nerves out of the way. You take the test.
I didn't know that you could do that.
So it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing that, like, students do, and then you cancel your score so they're not going to anybody.
So you can take the test and then cancel it out.
That's right. So then your
score your score comes out, or
I don't know that part. Like, okay. I think it's before the scores come out. Right. But just go take it and get your nerves out of the way.
Right, because it is. I remember for myself, it was a nerve-wracking experience.
Oh my gosh, they were like, get a timer and make sure you go to bed and be on time and eat some peanut butter. And I was like, oh my gosh,
this is the HBCU talk. Because I remember
intimidating
this,
before I even. I remember the same test. Talk. So yeah, those are the things that I would say. And then work hard. You know, I think it's not easy to go to law school. Decide what you want to do. Yeah. Decide where you want to go, and work hard at your craft.
And be able to pivot when it doesn't go your way right away.
That's right. I mean, that's really in life, you know.
Because it won't always work out. It rarely does the first time.
For sure. Anything you want in life that's, you know, my grandmama and them always say, anything worth having in life is worth working hard for.
Right.
So that is what it is. Whatever the thing is, you're going to have to work hard.
Right. Before we get out of here, because I know you have a retirement party to go to.
I do.
You're not of retirement age. but you're still very young. But I want to ask you a question that is very, I'm very proud that I went to Howard, as are you, but we know that at the law school, there are certain sections that exist. I know there is only
There's only one.
And I haven't.
I hope you were in it.
I hope you were in it. We're just going to say, okay, on the count of three, want to say a number, both of us at the same time. Yeah. What section? And just for the people who don't know, sections are the classes or that you're put in the first year that determine your success in life. That's how important it is.
That's right.
Okay.
That's why we're still talking about it. Like so many years out of law school. And I really hope you were in the right
one. I really hope you were.
It'll be sad if you weren't.
So we're going to, on the count of three, we're going to say a number before we end this interview. All right. One, two, three.
Section two. I don't know what was going on in section one.
Oh my God.
Section two is where it's at.
Shout out to my main man, Dave Clooney, my main man, Uriah Shipp. But you guys
shout out to everybody.
One.
But I'm just telling you, shout out to Professor Worthy.
Everybody
who was in charge of section two. But the fact that you know she was in charge of section two means you know it was the tightest section. So why do you even know that?
In spite,
I don't know who's in charge of your section.
Yeah, I'm not even going to dignify
you
that
know
with a response.
Who's in charge of my section? Though.
With all love and respect for Howard, I have to end on that note.
That's a good note to end on. Section two is the best.
But no, seriously, thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely.
We really appreciated you. And I hope you come back.
Maybe.
Okay,
maybe not.
Maybe not.
No, I would, of course, love to come back.
And I hope I can get a job because I know you. Thank you.
Wow.
Just kidding. Not really.
There. You put me out there. I don't even have any connects like that. You're the one that's in the big time federal court. You got all the connects.
I bet.
Thank you so much.
Attorney,
I really appreciate it.
Attorney
Brandi
Hard, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour. Please subscribe to this podcast. It's available everywhere, including Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. New episodes are released on the 12th of each month. And if you'd like to see the video version of any interview, they can be found on my YouTube page at the Lawyers Hip Hop Happy Hour. Thank you for your support, and I'll catch you on the B-side.